Hello and welcome to Tech Access Democast. Braille with iOS. Hi everyone and welcome to this Democast. Today I'm going to discuss the Braille Edge 40, which is the Braille display I purchased from HIMSS International. And you're saying to yourself, you discussed this already. What are you doing it again for? And my response is, well, I'm discussing it in combination with iOS devices. This Braille display, with its Bluetooth 2.0 chip, works beautifully with the iPhone in particular. I am not going to demonstrate the iPad. The only difference with the iPad is that there isn't a way to navigate containers with a display. I have an iPhone 5 running the latest iOS. If you're running iOS 5, I think there are still some problems with HIMSS displays and iDevices. Apple broke something, and so they were broken, and now I have iOS 6, and the problems appear to be fixed. In case you want more information on the Braille Edge and wish to consult the Democast that I did on this earlier, it is Tech Access Democast number 7 from June of last year. Since it is a basic note taker along with a display, it includes things like a basic notepad and a stopwatch and a calculator and a calendar. You can go to that Democast, again, Tech Access Democast 7, to find that. I do want to give you some information about the structure of the unit and about a couple of the concepts that I will be using on a regular basis to discuss things. The unit itself is a 40-cell Braille display with a Perkins-style 9-key keyboard. .7, of course, to the left of the 6 cells, .8 to the right, the space bar in the middle. On the top of the display, of course, is the keyboard, along with two navigation pads, one on the left and one on the right, two groups of four arrow keys, up, down, left, and right. Underneath the keyboard, still on the top of the display, are some function keys that will not come into play on this podcast. Actually, they are four to the left of the space bar and four to the right of the space bar. Underneath those are the cursor routing buttons. We have 40 of those. They are just above the cells of the display. To the left and right of the 40 cells, respectively, are two buttons in a vertical position. They are the up and down scroll buttons that you can use for panning. On the left side of the unit, something that is very important for this Democast is the Bluetooth switch. If you flip it up, it will turn on Bluetooth. Flip it down, the unit is in USB mode. The SD card slot is also just above the Bluetooth switch. On the right of the unit, we've got the power cord jack and the USB cord jack. On the front of the unit is the power on button on the front right corner of the unit. Now I want to talk about a couple of concepts that are useful for this podcast. Panning is, of course, the way in which the display moves forward and backward to view information. When I talk about cords, what I mean is pressing certain dots with the space bar. For example, muting and unmuting speech is M chord. That means pressing dots 1, 3, 4 with the space bar included. I'm going to talk about pairing the device with the iPhone. Next, I'm going to talk about how to navigate the screens of the iPhone and move among the various apps displayed on the screen. Then I'm going to demonstrate some of those apps, including the Mail app. It's already on the phone. Safari, which of course is the web browser. And a Twitter app, since a lot of people use their iDevices for Twitter. So enjoy this Democast. I'm going to start by making sure that the Bluetooth is enabled on the Braille Edge. And to do that, I'm going to flip the Bluetooth switch to the on position. The first application displayed when you turn on the Braille Edge is the notepad. I want to go down one from that, and it's terminal for screen reader. I want that. So I'm going to press the return key, which is .8. I think that's .8. I get 7, what's supposed to be 7 and 8 mixed up. I'm going to unlock my iPhone.
Slide to unlock.
And now pair it Settings. With the Braille Edge. And I was having so much trouble trying to pair this. The first time I did it with the instructions. And it was awesome. That was last year when I was reviewing the unit. The second time I did it with the instructions. That was last week when I got the unit. The third time I did it, I had an absent-minded moment and did not do it with the instructions and tried to pair it the way you would pair any other Bluetooth device, using the Bluetooth setting under the settings menu. That didn't work too well. So I finally realized you have to do it a unique way. You have to go into VoiceOver settings and do it that way.
Settings.
I'm going to go into settings.
Settings. Bluetooth on button.
You don't want to go there. You want to go to general.
General button. General. Spotlight.
Accessibility. Auto, password,
restrict, time, keyboard. International. Accessibility button. Accessibility. General. Back button. VoiceOver on button.
And you've got the vision heading and VoiceOver is there.
Zoom off button. Oops. VoiceOver on. VoiceOver.
All right. I'm going to
speaking rate. Speaking
go
rate.
Go down.
Use phonetics.
A little
use
bit.
Chain. Use compact braille. Braille at 0225 button.
Braille. Go into there.
VoiceOver. Back button. Braille heading. Contracted braille on.
These are the options you have in the braille heading.
8-dot braille off.
I don't want that. There's weird stuff that happens that I just don't like. I'm not comfortable with 8-dot braille.
Status cell off button.
Status cell can show you different things about what's going on. They are usually in the left-hand side of the display. I don't generally have those on because I don't find them useful. There may be a use for them that I just don't know about.
Choose a braille device. In progress. Selected. Braille at 0225. Not connected. Button.
When you turn off the device, it decouples, so to speak, from the iPhone or iDevice. When you turn the device back on, it doesn't automatically pair. You have to go in and enter the PIN again and pair it. I wish it did automatically pair, but it doesn't. You have to go in and do this every time you disconnect somehow, whether you eject it or whether you turn off the device.
More info. Braille at 0225. Not connected.
That's the only Braille display I have.
Selected. In progress. Selected. Braille at 0225. Not connected.
I have another Bluetooth device, but it won't show up here because it's a mainstream device. It'll show up in the Bluetooth settings. It's my Apple wireless Bluetooth keyboard.
Selected. PIN. Secure. Text field.
Now I got to enter the PIN, and the default PIN is 0000.
0000.
Easy enough.
PIN. Secure. Pair button.
And just above the PIN field at the top, towards the top, is the pair button, which is sort of at the top right.
Braille. VoiceOver. Back button.
And you will hear that gurgle. And on the Braille edge, you will see VoiceOver Back BTN, which is the abbreviation for button.
VoiceOver. Back button.
I'm going to just leave it there in the settings because I'm not going to need any more settings. We are going to use the Braille Edge to look at this screen, and for the moment, I'm going to leave speech on. And now it says settings on the display.
Messages.
As I use, I can use either .1 chord, .4 chord to move to next and previous item. In this situation, .5 and .2 chord will also work, although that's used mostly for panning as well. That's
calendar,
also used
Monday,
for panning.
8L01.
And I've got calendar, April 01. And each item is displayed one at a time on the Braille display. You have on the iPhone the icons across the screen in rows. And with VoiceOver, you're flicking to the right, and they're all in rows. This doesn't do it that way. You know, in other words, the first row of icons does not cover the display. It's one icon at a time. It would be nice if for displays that were longer than, say, 18 cells, where there was a lot of real estate, Apple could make the driver so that multiple icons could be displayed at one time so that more real estate could be used. But that's neither here nor there at this point.
Contacts.
Contacts.
Utilities folder. 9 apps.
I've got some utilities here. Alarms and clocks and stuff like that.
Apple folder. 1 new item. 7 apps.
I have 1 new app update.
Reminders. 1 new item. Games folder. 9 apps. News folder. 3 new items. Social folder. 9 new items. Music folder. 9 apps. Business folder. 4 new items. 8 zombies. Run. Passbook. Flexi. Accessibility
Flexi,
folder.
Flexi, the typing
apps.
Folder.
Page 1 of 3. Adjustable.
All right. That's basically the first screen. What's called the home screen, if you will. Let's say that I do not want speech because I'm using the Braille display. So what need have I for speech? How do I turn that off? It's very annoying. I could reach over to the phone and do the 2-finger double tap. That would do it. But there is an easier way when using the display. It is M chord, 1-3-4 chord, and M for mute. This is how I like to remember things. If possible, associate them with some kind of image or word to get all these commands right. M chord.
Speech off.
And VoiceOver will say speech off, and then you will see page 1 of 3 adjustable reappear on the Braille display. Now, similarly, what if I wanted to enable the screen curtain? I was showing this display to someone not too long ago with the phone, and they were very disturbed by the fact that they couldn't see what was going on because I didn't have the screen curtain disabled. And so to them, I was navigating, you know, empty space, and they didn't understand what was going on. So I had to enable the screen curtain. And I did it on the phone with a 3-finger triple tap because I didn't know any better. There is a way to do it on the Braille display without even touching the phone. It is a full cell, 6 dots, all six main dots with a space bar. And now my Braille Edge says screen curtain off because I had it on. I'm going to turn it back on with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Screen curtain on, it says. And then very quickly goes to page 1 of 3 adjustable. So I viewed all of my icons on one page. How do I navigate to the next page? I mean, viewing one page is all well and good, but do I have to go to the phone in order to scroll right one page? Actually, no, you do not. You can do O chord, 1-3-5, and that will take you to the next page going to the right. It's kind of strange because the display doesn't always keep up when you go through pages. For example, I did O chord and it went to the next page and it says page 2 of 3. But if I was on the dock, it still stayed at page 1 of 3 because it just hadn't caught up. But if I am on an icon on the screen and not on the dock, it seems to keep up fairly well. I'm not sure if that's a bug or what's going on. So now I'm on my second page. And you're hearing the VoiceOver gurgle along and make little chittering noises and do all of its things. It still keeps doing that, even though you mute the speech. All the other sounds stay the same. Here I am navigating through my folders, and it's still doing that. And each one, of course, is on a separate portion of the display. Now, in cases where there are in cases where the folder name is very long and it's giving you a lot of information, like a VoiceOver will say things like for example, podcast folder, and then list how many apps and how many new items you've got. I have a folder called TV and video folder, 8 new items, 4, and then that's where the display peters out because the word apps goes over that 40 cell limit. So how do I get to the next, to the rest of it? You know, it's the rest of the line. I can do one of two things. I can use the Braille display's own panning buttons to go, own scroll buttons to go to the next line, or I can use .5 chord to pan the display. As I said before, .1 chord and .4 chord go to the next and previous elements. 2 and 5 pan backward and forward, respectively. So now that I've shown you how to navigate pages on the screens, what if I wanted to go to the dock? What do I do? Well, I can do one of two things. I can navigate with the Braille Edge, you know, all your icons, or, you know, to the screen until you get to the dock, or I can do 4-5-6 chord, which takes you to the last element on the screen, which is the last item in your dock. To get back to the first element, I can go 1-2-3 chord, which takes you to the top of your screen, in my case, the settings, since that is the first thing on my page 1 of my home screen. And my dock consists of 4 items, and I just pan to the left to get to the first item, which is my phone. So what if I want to go to the status bar and check things like the time or something like that? Then I hit the S chord to go to the status bar. And it gives me my cellular strength, 4 or 5 bars, signal strength, status bar item. And it spells status, STS, bar, ITM for item. Going to the next element with .4 cord, Verizon network, 3 of 3 bars, Wi-Fi signal strength, 9.05 a.m., status bar item, orientation locked, status bar item, alarm set, Bluetooth connected, status bar item, 100% battery power, status bar item. Here I will stop and give you a warning. This Bluetooth connection eats up battery power both on the display and on the iPhone. Eats it up fast. In my experience anyway, if you're using the display to do a lot of things like going to Safari and using apps, and continuous use anyway can eat it up around 10 to 15% an hour, which isn't terrible, but isn't, you know, what I would like. And it also eats up power on the display too. Now at this point, how do I get to the home, to the back to the main screen? You know, I'm on the status bar. Am I stuck here forever? Well, no, because you hit H cord to get to the home button. I mean, it presses the home button. In my case, it did the search, and I pressed it again, and it took me out of that and went to the settings. I'm back at the top left corner again. I wonder if there's a more efficient way to get out of the status bar and back to the screen you were on, because it seems like if you press H cord, it takes you, not only if you're in an app and you want to check the status bar, it takes you out of the app too and back to the home screen, which doesn't seem very desirable. Of course, you can always tap your phone, which is a good thing. But if anyone knows of a command that I'm not thinking of, let me know. Now, say you are speaking of buttons on the phone, getting really sick of VoiceOver making all these noises when there's no speech. You can raise and lower the volume of the phone. And this works primarily for the ringtones. But if you are reading continuously, which I'll show you how to do in a minute, it will work for VoiceOver. This is the same, you know, way it works just in general if you've got speech running. You can do that, and it makes the popping noise to let you know the volume is going down. And this is, of course, the ringtone volume and the sound volume for the phone, not VoiceOver, because it's not in continuous reading mode. You can lower the volume with 3-4-5 chord and raise it again with 1-2-6 chord. So they're reverse of each other. Okay? So it's, of course, very small increments, so it may not sound like much, but it does, you know, they do work. Now, I'm going to show you how to navigate the contacts on your phone, since adding contacts is a feature that you're probably going to use quite frequently. I'm on the contacts button, and I opened contacts, as you heard, by pressing one of the cursor routing keys above the word contacts. It doesn't matter which one you press. It landed me on the cancel button because I'm currently in a field to add a contact. How do I get back out of that to my list of contacts? Well, in any application where there is a back button and you want to press it, you press B chord, B for back. Groups button. This is the, you know, root of the whole contacts list. It puts you on that. It's the top left button. It says contacts HD, which means heading. Then it goes to the add button, which is, of course, on the top right if you're using touch navigation. Then it takes you to the search field. And if I want to search for a contact name, all I have to do is press one of the cursor routing keys above that text string, and it changes. It changes to search, and it's in grade one, it's in uncontracted braille. And I type in a name. I'm going to type in Tech Access Weekly, and I'm going to type it in grade 2 Braille on the display. Tech Access Weekly. And it takes the display a minute to catch up, but once it finally does, the cursor is currently just to the right of the word weekly, and it is just a blinking away. The cursor is moving. That really, people really love that, to see the cursor blinking, to let you know where it is. Then if I pan to the right, there's a clear text button and a cancel button. No results, it says. Okay. So why are there no results? You ask yourself. I'm going to clear the text And now I'm going to type in uncontracted Braille. Tech Access Weekly. It contracts it, which is interesting. Clear text, cancel button, no results. And I did that search to demonstrate something. The searching for contacts, in case you don't know, searches your iPhone kind of automatically as you're typing. So you don't have to type a done button, you know, when you're done typing your search string. It searches for it. In my case, it did not find Tech Access Weekly. So I'm going to add it as a contact. But before I do that, I'm going to type in a contact for my local weather station because I have them. I used to have them sending me text messages about severe weather alerts, and I had the number in my contact. So let me type in ABC Weather SMS. I can type this in either contracted or uncontracted Braille. It does not matter, which is kind of nice. I'm going to type it in contracted Braille using the capital signs, clear text, and cancel button, and it found it. If I had typed it in uncontracted Braille, it would also have found it. And of course, to go into the contact and get the information in the contact, you type, you press one of the cursor routing buttons above the name. That's all it found. I'm going to cancel button. And now it takes me to the add button. Let's add Tech Access Weekly as a contact. It takes me to the cancel button and new contact heading. There is a done button, which is of course dimmed. Add photo button, IMG for image. First, text field. Now, some people may want to add things with computer Braille. It may make it easier. And you can do that. You can switch between contracted and uncontracted Braille with a G chord. Now, I wish that the Braille Edge had the same feature for text documents when reading in the display, but it does not at the present time, as does none other Sense Note Taker. But that's a side note. That's neither here nor there. In other words, it translates uncontracted text to grade 2 Braille. My Braille Light 40 did that when I had that. That was nice. Anyway, like I said, sidetrack. So I'm on the first text field. I'm going to open the text field by hitting one of the cursor routing buttons. And you heard that? It says first. It actually says the word first, which is kind of strange, but it's not going to appear in your contact when you add it. I'm going to type Tech Access as the first name, Tech Access, last text field, weekly, and I'm typing this in contracted Braille. Then I can clear the text, company, text field, I'm going to leave it blank, mobile button, I'm going to leave it blank, mobile phone, email button. I'm going to click the button. I'm going to go into the text field and type Tech Access Weekly at gmail.com. And I typed that in computer Braille because it's just easier for me to type emails and things in computer Braille with, you know, the decimal points and stuff. And now I told it to have contraction switch back on. Email button. Email text field. Okay. And I can set a ringtone if I want, but all these are done. You know, I don't want vibration and ringtone and stuff like that. Now I'm going to do the done button. And now I've got contacts, and I'm on the back button, which I can go back out of this with a B chord, but I don't want to do that. I want to go to the heading for T so that I know that Tech Access Weekly is there. T, but how do I know that I'm on headings? I want to set the rotor setting to headings. To navigate the rotor with the Braille display, it's .56 chord to go to the next rotor item. Punctuation, it says. Language, characters, words, headings. If I want to go back through a rotor item, let's say I went one too far, I can use 2-3 chord to go back. And it displays the name of the rotor item for about 2 or 3 seconds and then goes back to whatever you were on, whatever button or icon you were on previously, which I was on the back button. Now that I've gotten to the headings, I want to go through the headings until I get to T. So how do I do that? .6 chord and .3 chord flick between rotor items. Info heading. I want to go back. I want to go back out of this. B chord. I'm on my groups button again. I want to go to the T heading. A, heading, B, heading, D, heading. We keep going through the headings. R, S, T. And you will notice that in the contracted Braille mode, it does have the letter sign before each letter, which is also nice. So going down through, Tech Access Weekly is my first contact. And that's basically how to add a contact and navigate the rotor. I'm going to go into the mail client next to show you how to navigate your email messages. Home button with H cord, going to the bottom of the dock, going to the mail, hitting one of the cursor routing buttons. It takes you to the account you were last in. I'm going to press the back button because I don't want to be in that account. And I have mailboxes as a heading. Inboxes. All inboxes. Then it has the inboxes I've got. I want to go into Tech Access Weekly's inbox. Press one of the cursor routing keys above that one. And now I've got our messages. I can search the inbox. It puts me on the first message by default. And I went back up one item and I can search our inbox for something. What if I just want to read continuously down the screen and I want to know just in brief what messages are there? I can press an R chord and it will read continuously. It's like a two-finger swipe down and it reads continuously forward. It says checking for mail. It has taken me to the compose button. The problem with reading continuously forward is it goes kind of fast, so I don't generally like to do it that way. If you press W chord, it will read from the top down. And I haven't been able to find a way to speed up and slow down the display when it's in continuous reading mode, so I generally don't do that. I generally pan it or use the display to scroll up and down, which of course you can do quite easily. I'm going to go back out of that. It has a compose button at the bottom right corner of the screen. I'm going to compose a message to myself. That's fun, isn't it? Hit one of the cursor routing buttons above the compose button. It's a blank message. It takes me just under the send button. If I go up to the top, there's a cancel button, new message, send button, which is dimmed, add contact, then it's CC, BCC, and subject. I'm going to add a contact by hitting one of the cursor routing keys above the to button. Actually, I'm going to hit the add contact button, and it takes me to choose a contact. I'm going to use my rotor to go to headings, go to E, and find myself. I went one too far. Okay. There I am. I go into my contact. I find the email address I want to use. Cursor routing key above that email address. And my subject is going to be test message. Hit one of the cursor routing keys above subject text field, and I can type it in grade 2 Braille. Test message. And then it takes you to the message body field if you hit dot 4 chord one more time. And if I hit one of the cursor routing keys, I open up the message body and I can type this in grade 2 Braille. This is a test message from the Tech Access Weekly account. And the Braille display catches up. I pan left to get to the beginning of the line. Tech Access Weekly account. What if I want to add more to that sentence? I can delete the period with a D chord that deletes the character to the left. And I'm going to hit space, account, in contracted Braille, period. It's interesting that when you're writing a message, the last word in the message, before you see the blinking cursor on the last character, is in computer Braille. That's kind of interesting. And it makes for easier deleting when you're if you find you need to go back over the word. Autocorrect does not work in Braille. So, to my knowledge, it doesn't try and anticipate what word you want. Okay? Well, I have in my signature sent from iPhone 4. I want to change that to sent from iPhone 5. How do I do that? I'm going to go to one of the cursor routing buttons above 4, and I've got 4 there. I want to delete it. And like I said, the cursor is on the number 4. In order to get it to delete the 4 instead of the space bar to the left of the 4, you have to hit one of the cursor routing keys just to the right of 4, and then do the D chord, and the 4 will go away because it's on a return or some such. And you can type in a 5 and type it in contracted Braille, because if you type it in computer Braille, it says iPhone enough. And that's really not what you want. So type in 5 in contracted Braille. It will change it to computer Braille since it's the last word there. Hit a return. And now I want to send this. Just send it. I'm at the bottom. How do I get to the top? L chord. It takes you to the cancel button. And let's get to the send button, which is kind of at the top right-ish. And in order to do that, you press one of the cursor routing buttons and it will send it. Now, let's say I don't want to send it. I'm just going to hit cancel. And delete draft button is there. I'll delete the draft. And it takes me to the mailbox's heading, because that's where I was previously. So that, in a nutshell, is how you do your mail stuff. You can navigate the inboxes. The rotor, of course, works the same way get to the messages. The actions button is present. If you want to, of course, delete a message, you can do that with that quick flick down with the actions button. That's quite nice. Let's get back to the home screen with the H chord. I'm on mail because that's where I was before. Let's go into Safari, which is another app that people are going to be using. Click one of the cursor routing buttons there. Loading, it says. Ask a question link. Where am I, anyway? It takes me to the last page I was in. And LNK is link. And above that, it says contact us for HD LVL4, which is basically heading 4, level 4. I have no idea where I'm at, because it took me to the last page I visited, and I don't even remember what that was. I go to the top with L chord, and it says VDT link, which means visited link. Search link, menu LNK, hiking at Mount Alfred, Queenstown image. What? Where am I? I don't even know. I'm going to go to the last element, pages button, bookmarks button, utilities button, forward dimmed button, back button, close. Lord, I want to close out of here. Get out of there. Find us on, what? Okay, I'm still back there. I want to go back. Address button, reader button, read, reload button, back button, forward button. So I can search. I can also go into the address bar, and I just want to delete that whole address. Go to this address, and I did that with D chord, and it just took it all out, just like it always does. I'm going to type in google.com, and I'm going to type it in computer grade 2 Braille. It changes it to computer Braille, and I'm going to go button. Press one of the cursor routing buttons, and it took me to Google just like that. It took me to the web link. Search field is right above that. I'm going to search for, I don't know. Search, and it you can type in computer Braille or grade 2 Braille. I'm going to search for voice over iPad, voice over jobs, voice over work, voice over talent. It comes up with all these things. And I'm going to click on voice over. Landmark start. Voice over text field. Visited link. Landmark end. Web landmark start. Images. Places. News. I'm still in Google. Okay. I want to go to headings, and I'm using the rotor. Links, forms, tables, languages, characters, words, lines, headings. 18 headings, it says. Ads, voiceover. 3, level 3. That's not what I want. 2 search results. Apple, accessibility, voiceover. Finally! I had to get past the links that were ads, and I'm going to hit one of the cursor routing buttons, and I am on the... I don't exactly know why Safari takes you to the places it takes you on the page when you want to start reading. It's kind of like in the middle of the page. I don't understand that. It does the same thing with speech, too. I'm going to go upwards, headings, 43 headings, it says. VoiceOver, 1 mobile touch, 1 multi-touch, gestures on the trackpad image. Just drag a finger or around the touch-sensitive trackpad to hear a spoken description of the item under your finger. This is with the Mac. You'll hear spoken descriptions continuously as you move. I'm using the Braille Edge panning buttons to pan. I don't understand why it doesn't display apostrophes correctly. It displays them as back quotes or quotation marks. And sometimes in speech, it does this as well. I don't know why. But that's basically how you sort of jump around Safari. And I actually like it better because I can type in easier into the address bar, etc. I'm going to go home to get out of that. And now I'm going to find a Twitter app just to show you how to type into how to type a tweet. So I'm going into my social folder and it says social opening. Then it says social opened. I'm going to go into Echofon, which is my preferred Twitter client. And it takes me immediately to my menu button. It takes me to the menu button. I want another account. I'm in my personal account. I want the Tech Access Weekly account. So I'm going to get to it. TA Weekly. I'm back to the menu button. It takes you directly to the home button. Home buffer, I should say. And I'm on the compose button. I'm on the compose button. It takes me into an empty field. The cursor is blinking at the beginning of the display, at the beginning left. And I'm going to type, this is a test tweet using the Braille Edge from HIMSS. And then I'm going to hit the send button to send it. But that is, in a nutshell, how you will write tweets. And you can write them in contracted Braille if you want to, and which I did, and it sends them beautifully. That is basically what I wanted to show you with the Braille Edge and the iDevice. Of course, I did not show you the phone, but that operates similarly to the mail and other apps. I didn't show you the calendar and how to enter an event, but I did show you some of the basic Braille commands. There are a lot of other commands I did not show you. So to get a fairly thorough list, there is a link to the VoiceOver for iOS webpage that discusses Braille. And I will put that link in the show notes. There are about as many Braille commands as there are VoiceOver Bluetooth keyboard commands, both of which are the lists are pretty thorough that Apple has. There is even a command to uncouple the Braille display from the phone if you decide you want to do that. However, with the Braille Edge, it's also kind of easy because you can just exit terminal mode with a Z cord, and it takes you back to the list of applications that the Braille Edge has. So that is a very easy way to exit, and that works, of course, whether it's connected via Bluetooth or USB. I'm going to switch Bluetooth off on the Braille Edge. I'm going to switch speech on the phone.
Speech on.
And we are done with this demo cast. Thank you very much for listening, and I will see you next time. To get involved, send email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. Follow TA_weekly on Twitter or call 260-2-ASK-TAW, 227-5829.